You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
All right. Okay. So let me see here. I'll make sure we're recording once again, just to be sure. Be a little anal. Cool.
Okay.
All right. We are still going. You got about 30 minutes left, Ryan?
Sure.
Cool. All right. We're going to be completely off of that website. Minimize that. Too much stuff going on my computer.
This is 80 something podcast.
Banzai! Banzai! Banzai!
Banzai!
Hey, where's the beep? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Hey, this is the Banzai Retro Club, and I am Dave. Online, I've got Scott.
Sorry, I was muted for a second there.
Were you drinking?
No, I'm. I had a little bite to eat. That's all.
You're multitasking.
Yes, I'm trying to.
Okay, so no drinking tonight?
Oh, I'm drinking.
Okay. You still got your telly going on?
Dave, it's me.
Well, I don't have a drink beside me. That's why I'm asking.
Really? That's a shame.
Well, I had a little bit too much last night, so I'm...
Oh, you're in recovery.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I do have the Tully next to me, along with some garlic bread.
Oh, that's a good mixture right there. Garlic bread and whiskey. Like it.
Yeah, it's healthy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go keto.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
I think you missed the mark on that one.
It's tomorrow. So I'm loading up on my carbs and my sugars tonight. No.
Also online we've got Brian from Old School Evil. How you doing, Brian?
Doing great, guys. How about you?
You know, I mentioned it a little bit earlier because we were talking before, but Brian, I'm glad you're online because I finally get to talk to you in person. Because of your bad taste in theme songs for cartoons. So I thought this was a perfect episode to bring that up to you. Obviously, we know that Bionic 6 is the best cartoon theme, and I'm so glad that you finally acknowledge it. So we can move on.
Yep. I've come around. Bionic 6.
That was too easy. You're supposed to give me a little bit of shit for that. But I appreciate you not. Yeah, so the whole purpose today is we want to talk a little bit we want to talk a lot about what Brian's got going on with his website. Old School Evil is putting out some really awesome stuff. If you haven't gone to the website and checked it out, we highly recommend it. He's got just a ton of great dialogue that's going on and around the just villains from cartoons from the 1980s. It's just 80s, right? Or are you going into 70s and 90s at all?
Some 90s, like early 90s, I think, but mostly just 80s. That's when I was watching cartoons the most. I mean, I never really stopped, but the 80s was like the biggest time frame for me, the most influential. So that's where I'm sticking it.
So why villains? Why focus on those guys? Why not the heroes?
It always occurred to me that the villains, you need those, because without them, the heroes don't have anything to do. And they're always so much more over the top than the heroes are. I mean, you've got the villains that are coming up with these incredibly stupid plans most of the times. And it's just the heroes have to go stop them. But I mean, it's a lot more exciting to see where the villains are going and what kind of plan they have and everything. So that's what I stuck with. I mean, my favorite characters in most of these cartoons are the villains, like Megatron and Miles Mayhem and stuff. They're a lot more exciting than the heroes there ever are.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. And then you also put out a book.
Yeah. Old School Evil is the name of my novel as well. And it is all about villains as well. Inside the book, I made up a bunch of other villains. Basically, I made up my own cartoons and then started just writing fan fiction about them. So it's all about villains all living in a retirement home, and one of them wants to break out and makes his son kind of help him out to get out of there. So it's been a lot of fun to write, and I don't know, I think it really captures the vibe of 80s cartoons while also poking fun at them too.
Just listening to you talk about that, for some reason my brain went right to Dr. Evil from Austin Powers. And that is just so over the top, and you know, kind of the, you know, it kind of passed his prime, but then he comes back and, you know, wants to go back doing the same evilness that he was doing. And, you know, and I could see that world being, you know, a fun world to play in. So so it's good that you're exploring that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been great coming up with all these cartoons that I feel are, you know, just as goofy as the cartoons I watched as a kid and all that. So, yeah, Dr. Evil is definitely something that I, kind of went with a little bit with some of these villains, too. So,
Scott, I know that you're kind of you're there on the sidelines, but and I know you were a little bit older through the 80s. But I mean, were there any 80s cartoons that were big for you?
In the early 80s, I remember like Star Blazers, some of the early anime stuff I enjoyed watching, but I don't remember the actual villains or any of the characters. I remember watching a few of them. I go back to, you know, like the 70s, although I do remember Skeletor being pretty
awesome.
Pretty strong.
One of the first real weird ones out there.
Yeah. But I remember, you know, they really didn't have, like, in the 70s, they weren't, and before that, they really didn't have, like, these villains that were continuous, that kept coming back episode after episode. Like, you think about Scooby-Doo, for one, okay? Every episode is a different villain.
Right.
It's always the same, it's always the same characters on the good side, but the villains always change, you know? If it weren't for those rotten kids,
would have gotten away with it.
Yeah. So, yeah, my viewpoint is a little bit different. Or like Tom and Jerry, right? Tom was always kind of the villain to the Jerry. Jerry was always being chased by the cat, or, you know, mouse being chased by a cat. So Tom was always kind of the one that was the mischievous and the villainous side. As far as like the Bugs and all the Warner Brothers cartoons, Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd, they're really, it was, oh well, Wile E. Coyote, okay, there's a villain for you. Super genius villain.
Love the way that rolls off the tongue. Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
Super genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I come from a different era where the villains were not as intense, I don't think. But I can appreciate it. I like looking back. But when I heard your concept for the book, I think that's a great freaking idea. That is a great spin on it. You know, it's awesome. Like a retirement home for these evil, all the villains, and mm-hmm. for them to try to get out of whatever there's, you know, try to get out of it. That's awesome. That's a really creative way to look at these things.
Oh, thanks.
That's fun. That's fun. I didn't know really much about it before you just mentioned it. That's the concept that it was from the book, because I don't have a Kindle and I really don't read stuff on my iPad or anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm out of touch with ebooks.
Oh yeah.
So I occasionally get a paperback because. It's hard to get into that transition from one thing to another. So used to holding a book when I'm reading it, you know, versus holding an iPad.
Well, you know, if you want a copy or anything, let me know. I can always get one too.
Is it iPad compatible?
Yeah, I've got ebooks and paperback. So.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to try one on ebook if you don't mind. I mean, that'd be great. I like the idea. So it sounds like a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure I'm familiar with a lot of the characters that are in it.
Well, like a lot of the villains in there, I made up for them, but the main character, his name is Jace. He's actually named after the Jace and the Wheeled Warriors cartoon. Okay. He's a massive cartoon fan, just like I am. So he references a lot of the cartoons that I used to watch as kids and everything. So he's kind of my proxy there.
Okay.
So yeah, anyone that likes watching old, you know, Transformers, G.I. Joe or whatever, there's a lot of stuff in there for you.
Oh, yeah. Cobra. Now there was a good evil. That was a good one.
I don't think there's a Bionic 6 reference in there yet, but I'm working on the sequel now, so there's always room for it.
Nice.
And I do have another book later on in the series that will be going about the Scooby-Doo stuff, you know, the mascot mystery type cartoons too. So
really,
I've got a whole universe that I'm planning with this stuff, which I think is going to be great.
Sweet.
Well, that sounds fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll make sure you get some copies.
Scott, you mentioned Looney Tunes, and I didn't want to just leave that one hanging. Brian, are you really familiar with like the Looney Tunes universe?
I did watch a lot of it. I wasn't a massive fan when I was growing up because I did like the action-oriented cartoons, but I did watch a lot of Looney Tunes.
I was curious now because based on the subject of our conversation, you know, your favorite cartoon villain, if you just stuck in the Looney Tunes universe. Who would be your favorite cartoon villain from Looney Tunes? And, you know, I was, as soon as Scott was talking, I was thinking about that big hairy monster. I forgot what they named him.
I can't remember either. Yeah. It was on my head. I heard it just recently, too, and I can't think of it.
Yeah, it was just nothing but a hairball and sneakers.
Is it Mortimer or something like that?
I think you're right. I think it is Mortimer.
I think so, too. I kept thinking of Sweetums, but I know that's the giant Muppet one.
it is between that and then the boxer guy, where when Bugs is boxing the guy and he, like, pins him to the mat, or he puts up, like, a door and he's like, duh, just passing through, duh. So, you know, those two are the ones that immediately popped in my brain. But if you guys had to pick a favorite villain in the Looney Tuneverse, Brian, who do you think you'd pick?
You know, the one character I'm thinking of that he isn't always one, but whenever he's paired with Bugs, Daffy always comes kind of across as the villain there, at least the antagonist. And I always love seeing the two of them fight, and Daffy always loses. So where he's the kind of the villain, those are my favorites, I think.
Yeah.
Daffy's kind of a dick.
He kind of is. Yeah. He really is.
He really does.
I think Bugs is kind of too, but.
Well, yeah. Actually, he is kind of a dick too. They both kind of have this this chip on your shoulders is always trying to put one over on you. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good call, Daffy. It's good.
What about you, Scott?
I'm going Marvin the Martian.
Marvin, love it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love Marvin.
I knew he would come up.
Yeah.
There was only, you know, they didn't really do a lot with him. They only had a handful of actual cartoons that were like full length. But I always thought that was a fun concept. You know, he was going to blow up the planet.
Yeah.
And with this little tiny ray gun, it's great. But yeah, I always like that. I like Marvin.
Yeah, true to villains, you know, you had the sidekick and he had his dog.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So yeah,
with the weird little mohawk thing on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
I like that he was a villain to Bugs Bunny in his cartoons, and then later to Duck Dodgers as well. And was like this. Yeah, he filled like those two different roles. I think that was great.
I totally forgot about that. That's good reference. Oh, you do know your cartoons, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's like all I watch these days. And back then, too.
What was it, 24th and a half century? Was that what it was?
Sounds like it.
Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century. It sounds right. Anyway.
Something like that.
You were going to say something, Scott?
No, we're all good. Dave, what was yours?
Mortimer was what I brought up.
Mortimer, okay. Yeah. What was yours?
Yeah. Or the Boxer. You know, the iconic cartoons now from the 1980s. When, you know, I originally said, you know, I want to have you on, Brian, and I want to talk about, like, our favorite cartoon villains, immediately I thought of Mumra from Thundercats.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So to me, really? I remember getting just freaked out as a kid about how scary they depicted him. But I loved Thundercats. And in fact, I'm almost ashamed to say that, you know, even though, you know, I was a teenager in the 80s, I didn't probably give He-Man his due, his due attention. I don't know what it was. It just, for some reason, I couldn't get into that universe. So, you know, here I am on a retro podcast saying that He-Man's not really my jam. And I feel bad about that. But, you know, if Thundercats came out, I was like, all in. Sign me up. So I don't know what it was, even though those were kind of similar concepts. But there's just something about the kick-assness of Mumra that just really checked the boxes for me. He wasn't a stupid, you know, bumbling person or villain, you know, towards the Thundercats. He was really believable as somebody that would really give them a difficult time of survival on Third Earth. Now, obviously, the people that he associated with were bumbling idiots. You know, your Slythe and your Vulture Man and Monkey Man and all those guys. I mean, so mm-hmm. obviously, you know, that checked the boxes for your typical 80s cartoon where you had to have the bumbling henchmen.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I mean, Mumra himself, he sold it to me. I loved him. So where were you for your favorite villain?
Yeah, I was always Megatron. I thought Megatron was awesome. I mean, he was bumbling, of course, too. So he was a lot more like Skeletor than he was Mumra. But I mean, you had Frank Welker doing this incredible voice for him. You had the giant cannon on his arm, and he turns into a gun. I know a lot of people gave him crap for turning into a gun that someone else had to hold, but I just thought it was just such a cool visual that he did that. And I really liked him. I wish he was smarter, I guess. but yeah, he was definitely my favorite growing up. I mean, still kind of is my favorite villain. So
yeah, I had his the toy, and I used to just love, you know, doing the transformation between the gun and the, you know, to the robot.
Oh, you had that when you were a kid?
Yes, I did. Awesome. I totally did. I had that in Optimus, and I remember I had Jazz. I forgot who the Lamborghini was.
The yellow one or the red one?
Red one.
Sideswipe.
Yep, I had Sideswipe. I was more about the car at that point, you know, because I was all into the Lamborghini phase. So I remember the car more than
Cannonball
the robot.
Run, yeah. Lamborghini Countach, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You nailed it. You know, if you put two hot chicks in a Lamborghini, of course, man, sign me up. Scott, have you you got anything other than what you brought up before?
No, I just remember Skeletor was kind of one of my, I don't know if you call it my favorites. I always lean towards the good side, so I didn't really pick up on the evil villains. But one of the things you guys said is they always have these bumbling idiots as their sidekicks. Like, how evil genius can they be if they always surround themselves with a bunch of morons?
Yeah, they
like trust that. It might have been Thundercats with the sidekicks that they were always screwing up and making it more difficult for
Mumra
to actually go through with his plan, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that was it? Right. My memory is like, I barely remember Thundercats, but and I think that was the common thread with several of the other cartoons of this era. Like the evil guys, they were like these big, or Skeletor too had a couple idiots working for him, right?
Oh yeah.
And they were always doing something wrong to screw things up. Actually, it's a theme, I think, for the bad guy, whether it's cartoons or not. Like Dave, you and I talked about Superman.
Yeah.
77, right? You had Lex Luthor, Gene Hackman, the super, you know, diabolical mind, and he's got
Otis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wants Otisburg? You know,
it's a little itty bitty place. This Tessbacher has a place. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm going off lines now.
Okay. So I always thought that was kind of amusing, and maybe that's why they did it, because it's funny. You know, cartoons are supposed to be funny, right? They're supposed to be, and they are, even though sometimes they turn a little serious, but they really are supposed to be funny, even with the evil side of things, because they're entertaining kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So makes sense. Because it never really gets like really evil, like really dark.
Mm-hmm.
It hints towards the dark, but it really doesn't ever really get dark. Like, there's not really, they didn't really kill people, right?
No, not that I remember.
Yeah, so it was more of an insinuation. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I'm on a tangent. Don't mind me. My mind is going in.
Well, no, I was going to ask Brian, did you have a theory on that as to why, you know, like a super evil genius would surround himself with a bumbling idiot?
Well, I would think they're trying to show that for you to actually believe in this evil stuff, you have to be pretty stupid. And I think it also came down to the balance of it where, I mean, good has to win, so you have to have certain kinds of disadvantages to the evil people, and bumbling, stupid, you know, minions definitely provides that balance there, where all the good guys can be competent at what they're doing, but the bad guys, because they're trying to do evil, just aren't afforded that kind of confidence. So I think that's kind of where it comes from, at least for me, is just, you know, good has to win, and good can't win if the villains know what they're doing.
That's a good point. Also, do you think they might have surrounded themselves with those kind of that level of people because they didn't want any competition?
I think there's some of that, but you also, I mean, like the biggest example of that, I guess, is Starscream and Megatron, where Starscream constantly wanted to take over from Megatron, and he was, most of the time he was kind of competent, but when he was facing off against Megatron is when he was really stupid too.
Mm.
I mean, I think there's one episode where Megatron is trapped by Starscream and Megatron gets out and he's like, "You're either lying to me or you're stupid." And Starscream just cries, I'm stupid. I think that's just a good example of why villains are, you know, generally just dumb.
Hmm.
Yeah, I had a cartoon that I loved back then. It was called Visionaries. And one of the sidekicks, I forgot the character's name, but he did nothing but was just a bootlicker ass-kisser for Darkstorm.
Yeah, I think that was Mordred.
What was that?
Mordred, I think, was his name.
Possibly. I thought Mordred was the strong one. I could be wrong. But, yeah, I mean, and when he got his animal totem, he was like a dung beetle or something like that. And it was just got like every one of these bad guys, you know, that was the formula. You always had that. And I guess the way I had always kind of wrapped my head around it was that, you know, to what Brian was saying, was that good has to win. And if it was too overpowering on the evil side, then it would make sense for them to lose. So, but, you know, the formula has been going on forever, though. I mean, if you go back and look at, you know, the Star Wars franchise. I mean, stormtroopers, they can't hit the side of a barn. But, you know, yet, you know, there they are, you know, in force around, you know, these really powerful evil guys, you know, Darth Vader and the Emperor and all that. It's like, you know, come on, guys, you know, take them to the range and let's get them, you know, work on them a little bit. But, you know, nobody does that. And, you know, I guess maybe, you know, maybe there's something to the theory that they don't want them to be too powerful and more powerful than themselves. So I like your idea also, Scott. So I'm kind of going in between both of you on that. Brian, why don't you give us a little bit more details of, you know, about your website, your social media credentials, things along those lines. How can people get the book?
Okay. And there's a link to the book on the very top of the page, oldschoolevil.com. That's my website where I host a blog about, right now I'm going through a tournament of all the villains from the 80s cartoons. There's 32 of them I picked, and I'm just trying to see which one is the all-powerful. I'm halfway through it right now. And you can always check that out. I've gone through and looked at all the villains I've remembered and found other cartoons that I missed and looked at all of those. And every once in a while, I'll just put out a list of my favorite cartoons, my favorite toy gimmicks, my cartoon crushes. And you know, you can find me on that website. You can find me on Twitter, which at old_evil_school. Wait, no, it's old school evil with an underscore between them.
I always forget about the _school_evil.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. You can find me on there, and I'm on I'm also on Facebook at Old School Evil as well.
So I'm looking at your website right now, and one of the first things you see is the villain from The Little Mermaid.
Oh yeah, the Great Villain Blogathon.
Right, that Great Villain Blogathon. Right, that's something that I completely forgot about. Like Disney always had really good villains. Like they were, like a lot of the. Like Sleeping Beauty had, you know, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, they all had really dark characters for their villains. Even, you know, even Aladdin with, Aladdin stood out to me because it was the year we got married and we actually used the song from Aladdin for our wedding song.
What, Whole New World?
Yes, we did.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And that's sweet.
Get a little teary-eyed right here.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, from laughter. You're laughing.
No, it's cute. Even though, like,
it was a whole new world. No, that was that's one of the I know you like to, you seem to focus, Brian, on like a lot of the series of cartoons. You know, the cartoons that you went to, you know, that you revisited it every week because they were out with a new episode. But I totally forgot to think about all the great Disney bad guys, you know? It was great. There's a lot of good ones.
Even when they didn't have like magic powers or something like Cruella De Vil, I mean, she was just such an iconic villain.
Yeah,
it was great that Disney put a lot of thought into them and didn't make them, you know, kind of one-dimensional like the other cartoons usually were. So,
however, they did most of them have bumbling idiots also on their alongside of them.
Yeah, they did. It's kind of universal, I guess.
Yeah. So I know that was another tangent. Forgive me, I do that often.
I like the Disney tangent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's still villains. It counts.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So on our side of things, we do have a website out there. So that's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BanzaiAi. So please go out there, follow our social media credentials. That's on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, all that good jazz. You can get to that through our website, so please check that out. If you're so inclined, shoot us a quick email at McFly@BanzaiRetroClub.com just to give us feedback, what your thoughts are on cartoon villains. We'd love to hear from you. And with that, we'd like to remind everybody, be excellent to each other and have a good whatever, because, hell, we have no idea when you're going to listen to this. Bye.
Take care.
See ya.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 The Bugs Bunny Looney Tunes Comedy Hour. Starring that Oscar-winning rabbit, Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
And all of his Looney Tunes friends. Sylvester the Cat.
Bucker and Bucker Cash.
Daffy Duck.
You're despicable.
Yosemite Sam. Elmer Fudd.
Be very, very quiet.
The Roadrunner. Wile E. Coyote. Porky Pig.
The name's Porky Pig.
Also starring the Tasmanian Devil. Pepe Le Pew. And Foghorn Leghorn. So get set. It's time for the Bugs Bunny Looney Tunes Comedy Hour.
Defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
"By the power of Grayskull, became the mighty battle.
Battle Cat, and I became He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko. Together, we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil forces of Skeletor.